Tom Karkel in the WRJN News Center. Forecast for today, a lot different than it was yesterday. It's going to be cloudy with the rain likely developing as this day goes on. Going to be a bit breezy, and we'll have a high, well, maybe struggling to get to 50 degrees or so. We look around the area, start things out in Kenosha, where right at this particular hour, the temperature is 41. It says 51 in Burlington. We'll check with them and see if that's right. In Milwaukee, 42 and 41 in Racine. There was a public hearing held Thursday afternoon in the dance hall area for the Los Mariachis restaurant on Highway 20 in Racine. That hearing by the State Assembly Committee on Urban Revitalization after it first went to visit Racine Vocational Ministry. Racine County Executive Jonathan Delagrave talking first about mental health access, 4K efforts, people lacking their GED, and at least matching the state's jobless rate locally.
And when we looked at it, I thought, well, this is going to be thousands and thousands and thousands of people to fill those jobs. Actually, it's 825 people. If we got 825 people off unemployment into a sustainable job with livable wages, our unemployment rate would match the state's unemployment rate.
Racine native Mario Martinez noted Latinos are leaving Racine and Wisconsin. He also touched on the immigration issue.
It's possible that you will see a huge decline in the numbers over the years. They're leaving because they don't feel safe in their communities. They're going to states like Illinois where they feel more welcome. What does this mean for us? It means we lose the buying power of this community. We lose consumers, tax revenue, car buyers, home buyers. I lose clients and so on and so forth. It could mean a massive impact on the city's economy and tax revenue.
Racine Unified Superintendent Lolly Haas touching on the benefits of 4K schooling and today's learning environment for students affected by their home life. Other issues brought up during the scheduled four-hour hearing included minority hiring and job opportunities, housing, overregulation, and foster care, just to name a few. For those in the teacher training program at UW Parkside, student teaching is a little different today than in past years with what's known as cohort teaching and the Institute of Professional Educator Development. Teachers, retirees, community members getting an update on the five-year-old program at the Wingspread Conference Center, including a little testimonial from Melissa Wemmert. She's one of the first graduates who has spent the current semester as a long-term substitute at Case High School.
I think I would definitely lack the confidence that I have now and also lack the ability to plan lessons and units cohesively where I understand the goal and the students understand the goal. Being a long-term substitute, I went straight from my student teaching experience to building and creating lessons for 12th graders at Case High School. And that ability to kind of create an authentic and complete experience for them in their last bit of their senior year is something that I don't think I would have been able to do as well if I hadn't gone through the co-teaching model.
Parkside's new teacher education program graduated its first cohort group last year with five students, including Melissa. This past weekend, 10 students got diplomas and 54 are currently enrolled in the program. Some of the discussion at Wingspread last evening centered on the much-publicized teacher shortage. The Women's Resource Center in Racine has been in need of a new full-time executive director since the end of January. That after Sherry Griffin, who had led the domestic violence shelter for 15 years, decided to retire, and a replacement has been found. The board of directors, in a news release, has announced Lynn Hildebrand is now on the job. She comes to WRC from the top job at Milwaukee St. Joseph Academy, a private elementary school. The release points out that Hildebrand also has experience with fundraising and strategic planning. Speaking of fundraising, the Women's Resource Center has one tonight from 5:30 till 7:30 at Uncorked in downtown Racine at 240 Main Street. Well, to drive home the point that law enforcement agencies all across the country are going to be enforcing those seatbelt laws for the upcoming holiday period, representatives of local law enforcement agencies held a little news conference to remind everybody to buckle up, with the annual Click It or Ticket enforcement effort beginning May 22nd, concentrating on the border areas, including the interstate at the Wisconsin-Illinois line. At the Kenosha County Tourist Information Center, Kenosha County Sheriff David Beth said it's an easy fix that saves lives.
We wish we didn't have to enforce seatbelts. We hoped that everyone would wear them. But if they don't, we're out there in force to write a citation, and this is something that we all believe in.
Officials are stressing the goal of the Click It or Ticket campaign not to write more citations, but saving lives. National Highway Traffic Safety Administration says in 2015, over 9,800 people were killed in traffic crashes. Those people were not wearing seatbelts. Well, despite the president's pledge to kill federal carbon reduction requirements, Alan Leverett, the chief executive officer of We Energy's parent company, told shareholders there's going to be continued investment in natural gas and renewable energy because of the economic advantages. WEC Energy Group's already reduced its carbon emissions by 26% since the year 2001. The goal, he said, dropping them to the level in the former president Obama's Clean Power Plan, but much sooner than the 2030 deadline. The Milwaukee Business Journal noting that We Energy's Oak Creek power plant is coal-fired, and the company has no imminent plans to retire it. Leverett saying the situation is driven more by fundamental economics than what is or isn't going on in Washington. Work is set to begin Monday on a resurfacing project in downtown Kenosha, 6th Avenue from 55th Street to 7th Avenue near Library Park. Project did raise some questions at this week's City Council meeting, Alderman David Bogdala noting that it involves removing all of the trees along 6th Avenue. Alderman John Fox, whose district includes the downtown, took note that these trees are damaging the sidewalks and the curbing.
The trees from the beginning of the project when they were put in, they weren't trimmed properly. They're growing into the buildings. And it's going to look different. That's right. And the trees that will be down there are going to be in pots, big 4x4 pots.
He said they'll be replaced by trees and planters. The east side of 6th Avenue is going to be closed to traffic with this, along with the sidewalks on that side of the street. Once the construction is completed on the east side of 6th Avenue, then the work will switch over to the west side. Resurfacing work to also begin Monday on 58th Street between 3rd and 7th Avenues. Once again, half the street will be closed to the vehicles and pedestrians, and when that work is done, then it switches to the other side. Both projects expected to wrap up by the end of August. First subdivision plat for the village of Mount Pleasant in about 10 years involves Hood's Creek at Giddings Road and Settlement Trail, and an application by Batke Holdings for an 8-lot addition.
The addition was part of previous plans, therefore the village allowed the developer to skip the preliminary subdivision plat step and move straight to final plat approval. The applicant worked with the village community development and engineering departments for the past few months to bring the former plans up to current village standards. The addition will adopt the previously approved settlement at Hood's Creek private restrictive covenants, and this is the first significant residential subdivision in the village since the mid to late 2000s.
Community Development Director Sam Schultz telling the Village Plan Commission the property's recommended residential by the Master Land Use Plan. Nancy Washburn from Land Development said it's really exciting. The new facilities, by the way, to match those originally built. 256 State Street in the city of Burlington used to be a gas station and then was abandoned with about $96,000 in back taxes, which Racine County took over, a site that wannabe Eagle Scout Tommy Martin initially saw as a community eyesore, but also with potential as a new public park.
There'll be brick pathways that will be going into the center of the park, and as well as the signs that will be on the corners of McHenry Street and West State Street, as well as Milwaukee Avenue and West State Street. And there will also be a variety of plants and trees that are located across the property. And the signs are going to be welcoming you into the historic district of downtown Burlington.
He explained the city help with signs, site, and landscaping plans will involve a couple of local companies, his Eagle Scout project requiring at least 100 hours toward benefiting the community. One of the immediate volunteer needs is going to be help from professional landscapers to install paving bricks for the park pathways. In-kind services and financial donations being sought for the project, for which Tommy Martin had actually contacted the city about it last fall. He got distracted, though, by the sudden death of his father. Mayor Ginny Hefty reached out to Martin, and that project is now back on track. WRJN.com. That's our webpage. We keep our newscasts in the local news section. At WRJN News, get you our Twitter updates. I'm Tom Karko, WRJN News.